Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, and next to me here is my co-host, Sean. I thought about this the other day. When was it decided of that catchphrase?
The podcast that revolves around the evolving meta?
Yeah, when did, like, I don't even remember, to be honest, how we decided that. It just, like, how did it happen?
I think you just picked that. I don't know. I think it was definitely the early days. Like, first,
I'm pretty sure it was like episode one or two.
It might have been. Yeah. You had that catchphrase, Jake. You just had it.
I feel like
no auditions needed.
I feel like it was literally, I mean, I have to go back and like listen to it and listen to the episodes, but I feel like it was just like an ad lib that I had. And just,
I believe it.
And then I've just stuck with it for the past 175 or whatever episodes that we're at several years later. But Sean, how's your week going?
Oh, my week is going well. It's been going well. I got a lot of construction going on at my house. listeners know the drama of my house right now all too well, but we are working on the bathroom as well upstairs.
Oh, you're working on the bathroom too?
Yeah, we're gluttons for punishment, Jake, and we can't be satisfied with one room in our house being unusable. No, we need two rooms.
Well, how many bathrooms do you have in your place?
Two full baths and another half bath.
See, okay.
You'd think our house was big, but it's really not. We actually, the people working on our bathroom is like, how many bathrooms do you have here? And I was like, three. And they're like, three bathrooms in this tiny house? And I'm like, listen.
No, one thing once I like get my own house or whatever is I will make sure that I have more than one bathroom. And I would love to have more than one full bathroom because, man, you need it. Whether it's a master bathroom or whatever, you just need more than one full bathroom.
I will say this, Jake. Legally, we do not have two full bathrooms. But we have two full baths. So, you know, because of codes and zoning and whatnot, our bathroom in the basement is technically not a legal bathroom. Don't ask me how all of this works.
I feel like I don't want anybody to explain to me what a legal bathroom is, but I also, it's beyond me. What we know is about trading cards, specifically the Pokemon trading card game. And there was some excellent news that came out throughout this week, as well as several major tournaments as well, Sean. Three major tournaments that you could get results from if you're looking to update your decks and things like that as we continue into the Paradox Rift meta. But maybe if you're starting out in the Pokemon trading card game, one thing that you can do is pick up a League battle deck. And Sean, we've been a fan of these products for a long time.
Yep. Excellent products.
The League battle decks, the next level 3 one came out. So if you're unfamiliar with what a League battle deck is, think of it like a juiced up theme deck, like starter deck, right? Think of it sort of in that you buy this package. It's got a set of cards for a deck already ready for you. Got dice, damage counters, things of that nature, everything you need. You can literally take it and go to locals and play with it immediately upon opening. And the most recent deck that has released is the Gardevoir League battle deck. So Gardevoir EX, one of the more popular decks going on right now in Paradox Rift meta, and one of, I think, just the new popular decks in general anyways. So Gardevoir EX coming in this one. It is a level 3. So the great thing about this is you get 3 different Gardevoir EXs in this product. Based on the level is essentially like how many EXs you're going to get overall. That's generally kind of how they do these products. But also it comes with a Mew EX, Lumineon V, and Radiant Greninja. There's a whole deck list that I've got on screen, even though it's not, I'll try to make it a little bit bigger, but a whole deck list here that's actually a pretty good deck list overall, Sean, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list now, and I was looking some cards up, Jake. Mm-hmm. I think this deck list is a post-rotation deck list as well. Meaning you won't have...
I don't think so.
Well, what would be in there?
Refinement Krillia?
No, a Refinement Krillia is F.
Does that not stay?
I think the Krillia stays. It's the Gardevoir that goes away.
Oh, well, there's no... the only Gardevoir is Gardevoir EX.
Exactly. So Refinement Krillia is F block.
Oh. Cards
that go away are E block.
That's right.
The Shining Arcana Gardevoir, the baby Gardevoir, is the one that goes away, which is not in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
This deck looks, on the surface, I looked at like most of the cards, it looked to be a post-rotation deck entirely.
You have, like I mentioned, the Radiant Greninja Lumineon Mew EX along with the Gardevoirs. We talked about the Refinement Krillia as well to accelerate a huge, huge part of the deck and what makes Gardevoirs so good. This is the Ralts in here that stops an attack from your opponent or says they can't say a specific attack, I believe, in there. You got Drifloon, Cresselia in there for the trainer cards. You get your staples that are just really, really good if you do not have like Boss's Orders, Research, Nest Ball, Ultra Ball, Rare Candy, but you also get some great cards in there too, like Super Rod, Arvin, and a full playset, Sean, of Ionos. That's a big one in my opinion.
Yeah, the Ionos are really good in here. I will also say, what's interesting about this list, Jake, because I've been thinking about like what does Gardevoir turn into post-rotation?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this, you know, who knows, right? But like clearly the folks that are building this deck at the Pokemon Company have some thoughts. And their initial thoughts are it's going to be a Drifloon-heavy strategy. And I don't think that that's far off of what it may end up being. I'm like, you probably throw in a Screamtail over one of the Drifloons, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two, because Screamtail also is a really, really good Pokemon. And then, you know, you probably throw in some of the new items that let you search for 70 HP or less Pokemon. Get your Ralts, you know, the one that gets the Battle VIP Pass that comes in the next set.
Battle VIP Pass 2.0.
Exactly. But other than that, like, I, you know, this will be a really solid list. Like, I can't remember the last time we've seen five V and or EXs in one box. Like Mew had,
I think the
two
last
Genesect,
one,
two Mews and two Mew VMAXs.
I think, yeah, Mew had two Mew Vs, two Mew VMAXs, and two Genesects. The Ice Rider Calyrex deck had either a 2/2 line or a 3/3 line. I can't remember off the top of my head the Ice Rider and Shadow Rider Calyrex. But one thing that I love about this deck too, and you were talking about it, like this isn't a bad deck at all. This is very similar in a lot of aspects, not every aspect, but a lot of aspects to what Gardevoir was originally, right? Gardevoir, as of the last couple tournaments, the last couple weeks, has moved away from the Cresselia, right? It is a recent change of the deck, and Cresselia is present as a Pokemon that you will get in this deck. Drifloon. Right, Drifloon was in the first iterations. I think you talked about on the podcast how you played a Drifloon Cresselia deck yourself. So right when the set came out, that was things that people were gravitating towards with those bravery charms. So in there, you know, with the artisans, and you do have a Jock, which makes it just a little bit more. But Jock is like relatively all right, you know, like being able to find your evolutions of Krillias and Gardevoir is not the most out of the world thing. Especially as a one of, it's not like you're getting a complete four of. So I do agree with you on this, that this is just a really good deck overall. The only thing that I would say is you have way too many energies in this deck. You have 13 energies, but it's not meant to be a perfect, like incredible deck. It's meant to be a deck that you can pick up. You can go to league and you're not going to get absolutely slapped in your first game if you know what to do with the deck, that is. If you've never played the deck before, then it's probably going to be a little tough, but that's what learning is. That's why it's level 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the nice thing about 13 basic energies, mm-hmm. it's almost like, oh, you could probably... That's two energy that I think you could cut immediately upon getting the deck and put stuff that you want in there instead. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost makes it easy, right? Like, cut two of those energies, throw in two of, I don't know, something, and then, you know, like, find a space.
What would you put in?
I think the new Moonlight Hill Stadium card is good. Oh, yeah. Because it helps fix math on hitting really high numbers with Drifloon and or
Screamtail,
right? Because once you add the Bravery Charm, you get to an even number. We talked about this. So an even number Pokemon with that Bravery Charm, you're leaving ten damage counters on that Pokemon on the board, basically. And the Moonlit Hill fixes that math for you, so you can hit the maximum damage. So for Drifloon, that's 330. For Screamtail with a Bravery Charm, at least, it would be, what would that, 130, 260 to any Pokemon. So 260 to any Pokemon, including the bench, is pretty good. If you were to change this deck up, maybe you throw in a Luminous Cape and a Screamtail instead of one Drifloon and one of the Bravery Charms. I think this is cool. Cool stuff.
One of the things in here too, this might be the best die that they've ever put in. The die with the, like, rolling for a coin flip and stuff. Gorgeous. It's like, for anyone who is just an audio listener, it is basically like space. You know, it's got like purple and blues all over in it. It's got these speckles in it. It really feels like space. It might be the best die that they've ever put in, but this will release on April 19th, going for $30. So $30, you get a ready-to-make deck, one of the two League Battle decks releasing every year. So really good deal, in my opinion, especially if you don't have any of these cards. Maybe you want to introduce someone to the game. Maybe you want to get into just Gardevoir yourself. Like, even if the singles for, like, this deck maybe don't equal $30, or maybe are of, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's probably
$30 more for the value.
Yeah. But just getting it ready, you know, at the ready for you to play, all you got to do is just sleeve it up. It's just super, super nice, in my opinion. So definitely look out for that, especially if you are a fan of these League Battle decks, just like we are. I've bought them in the past. They're great, in my opinion. But if you are looking for something else in your play, Pokemon League's Prize Pack Series 4 is coming in February in the Sean. I think originally I said on the podcast, like, I didn't like these prize packs when they were first announced, but the more and more that we see these prize packs, the more and more that I definitely turn on that opinion. I love these prize packs. I think they're so nice. They're so cool. You get them a lot for participation, and then also as kind of like tournament prizing. And if you do not know, they all consist of reprints. There are different types of reprints that they got in there. Some of them are hollow foiled in these cards, especially the Scarlet Violet version of the cards are in that style. Yeah, silver bordered cards are in that style. You can get hollow energies as well, which are always a hot commodity, and a bunch of playable reprints. So, Sean, what are some of the cards in here that you can really look forward to?
I mean, just off the top, I would say Iono.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this really cool stamped foiled Iono is going to be really nice. Outside of that, like, there's a whole stack of cards, some of which you can see, some of which you can't, but, like, the energy, I think, is this the first prize pack energy we've seen that are silver border?
Ooh, actually, I don't know if prize pack 3 had silver borders or not. I know it hasn't been the whole time. I don't have my binder border with me.
I think it was still yellow border off the top, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's still yellow border in prize pack 3. So this might be the first silver border prize pack holo, you know, this galaxy foil or whatever styling.
And it's not only that, it's the special energies too.
Exactly. You're going to get jet energy, luminous energy, and Maybe most exciting of all for some decks, Reversal Energy. Coming in that gorgeous foiling.
And not in the stupid, gross, reverse holo pattern in the main set. Mmm. Delicious.
Yep. So those are going to be really good. Outside of that, I think there's a lot of cards that are just continuing to get printed. Like Refinement Curlia, you could get in the previous set as well. I have like three or four of them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the EXs and Vs, what stands out to you, Jake, if anything?
I really love the idea that Giratina V is in here. There's Giratina V and Maridon specifically, especially because those two decks, I feel like, are some of the most popular decks at this point. And this wasn't decided. Like, these cards didn't get decided that they were going to have this print like 2 weeks ago, right? This is something that was decided months ago, probably even before Charizard EX's release. So some of the more popular decks that people play, being able to get these Vs, very, very nice, especially the actual Vs in comparison to the EX's. The Vs are starting to get harder to find, specifically because Lost Origin, for example, hasn't been printed, you know, in a while. It's not like new waves are coming left and right like you could for Paradox Rift or whatever the latest set was. Paldean Fates. You could probably find some Paldean Fates right now, but you can't really find Lost Origins. So there's that in there. There's also old Gudra V. And one thing that I also appreciate about these cards is that the promo stamp is not in the same place on every card. So if you look at this picture that I'm showing the Fortress, Regidrago, Regieleki here. All of those have the stamp on the right side of the card above the either the ability or the attack on there. But for the Gudra and the Meowscarada EX, they're placed on the left. And I really, really like that. I think it's just a better placement overall for those two. So it feels a lot more purposeful on these as well. It doesn't feel like it's the GameStop promo where it's just GameStop in full red font. That's really hard to read. So I really enjoy these. I think these are really, really nice, especially because, you know, you usually get them for participation and stuff. And they've got some really, really cool playables and reprints and stuff. Sometimes with alternate arts, you know, the Lost Vacuum, the Trekking Shoes all have those alternate arts that they came with, and so just really excited about these.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be cool. I do like that. I didn't even notice that you pointed out the stamp placement. That's really neat, because yeah, they're basically like, hey, we don't want to put the stamp on top of one of these Pokemon's faces.
Yeah,
so let's move it. Let's have options here.
Packs will start being released or distributed, I guess is the real thing, because you can't buy these packs, or at least you shouldn't be able to buy these packs. I guess you could, but that's against terms of service and stuff. Do not try to buy these from your local game shop, and do not try to sell these cards to your local game shop either, because I think game shops can't do either or else they get penalized. So you don't want to put your stores in an awkward position. But they start releasing and being distributed on February 14th. So mark that in your calendars for you know, time to go to locals again. You know, if you're a little bit bored of the meta, start bringing your fun decks to the scene and get some classic Cosmo holofoil cards. They're so beautiful. Yeah. They're so pretty.
I think this is the best holofoil change Pokemon has made in years, which is bringing back this Cosmo holofoil with the swirls. And like, look, we're all nostalgic for a lot of things. I think a lot of people, though, were like, I'm not nostalgic for the yellow borders. Like,
yeah.
It's an era in time. Fine. But like, let's get rid of the yellow borders, but let's bring back that old school cosmic foil. Chef's kiss. We are living in the best timeline right now, Jake, in some ways.
Now they just need to bring back the legendary treasures collection of the firework holofoil. You know, the old,
oh my gosh.
Like the
reverse.
Yeah, like the first reprint or yeah. a holiday set, really, of Pokemon. I have one card that has the firework pattern. It's my Omanyte, and I love that card. Love that card to death.
You know what? I bet you the Ace spec is going to have... It's not going to be the same, but that card looks shiny.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to have a little bit of that feel to it, the new Ace specs.
I believe it. So. We showed it off on a previous episode video if you're watching on YouTube or a video version of the podcast. And if you're audio only, you could go to Poke Beach and one of the articles that they talk about Ace specs, you can watch that video there. But if you want to talk about the now and you want to talk about stuff that has happened over the weekend in terms of results and things that you can do in the Pokemon trading card game, three major events went on last weekend, Sean. We got to see one of them on stream, but the other two just kind of happened. It was Singapore Regional League Volume 2, Melbourne Regionals, and Knoxville Regionals. Sean, we just really have like the deck distribution analysis of Knoxville, at least in front of me right now. So what do you think was the number one deck heading into Knoxville?
I mean, we're going to play this game. I think people are going to just keep playing Charizard. I have no idea. I didn't look at any of the numbers, but just feels like Charizard EX is just super popular. People love a good Charizard deck. It's a beefy dude. I feel like that's what most people would have brought.
Charizard was the number one deck, 16.7%. in the meta. But Sean, what do you think number two was?
I mean, I think people are catching on. I would say Roaring Moon.
Oh my gosh, you're correct. Roaring Moon was the number two deck. That kind of surprised me, truthfully. I get that Roaring Moon, like Ross Cawthon did really well with Roaring Moon, and I was like, okay, Roaring Moon's a really, really fun deck, but people love Roaring Moon, and it showed up in this event in popularity. Sean, number three, what's your guess?
Giratina V-Star.
Oh my gosh, you're a genius. Giratina V-Star at the third place spot, and I'll go through the rest of them. Fourth at 10% was Lost Zone Box, and I think that was a conglomeration of a couple different Lost Zone variants with like just Turbo, like Sablezard, things like that.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about one of them later because my favorite version of Lost Box really made an appearance at Knoxville Regionals. Gardevoir was the fifth place deck, about 8.5% there. And then Maridon at a little under 7.5% of the decks. In terms of... They also did this really like, oh man, I wish I saw this. They had another graphic in here. Where is it? Okay. So the best of the rest, day one. So out of those percentages that we told, there was like 30% of other, right? Not in those top five, which was a new graphic that they showed in this one. So we got to see like pretty much everything else almost. So Mew VMAX was the next deck up at 7%, Goldango at 4.5%, Snorlax Control at just under 4%, Unclassified as 3.7%, which with the Unclassified they utilized Unknown V Star and Unknown V, and I thought it was just an unknown, like somehow 50 people brought Unknown V Star into Knoxville, and I was shocked. 3.1% Chin Pao, and then 4.2% Iron Valiant. But Sean, in terms of day two, what was the number one deck?
Oh man, I'm going to go ahead and say that the number one deck, the most played deck in day two, actually switched to Roaring Moon because I think it has a good matchup against Charizard. But then Charizard was still number two, percentage-wise. But that's my guess.
So you're correct on Roaring Moon being number one in terms of the day two decks. So Roaring Moon was 13.84% in day one. What was it in day two, you think?
Day two? I'm going to say probably maybe 14.5%.
20.98%. Roaring Moon's conversion rate looked real good in there. Surging through. Giratina, the second place spot at 16. Charizard with 11.8. Tied with Lost Box Zone, or Lost Zone Box. Gardevoir at 10.5 and Mew VMAX at 5.5. So Roaring Moon, very, very popular choice. Like you were mentioning as you were doing your day one predictions, people are catching on to the Roaring Moon in this event, and it was very fun to watch. I watched pretty much just day two, just because I was busy on day one. And it was very, very exciting, Sean. Gardevoir ended up winning the whole thing, Ryan Antonucci. So Gardevoir, we've kind of seen the up and down on the Gardevoir, and the latest iteration of it is back to Battle VIP Pass and back to a couple other things.
Yeah. I mean, there's Battle VIP Pass in this list. They're interestingly, I don't know, maybe this isn't interesting, but there's two Fog Crystal and three Ultra Balls. So like sort of an interesting split there. They got a Worker, an Artisan, and a Collapse Stadium, which I love. I'm trying to think of, there's still the Zacian, but there is no Forest Sealstone in the list.
I feel like Zacian has been something that has been taken out of a lot of lists. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked about Zacian V and seen it in these Gardevoir decks. So that and Celebrations Mew, something we saw really, really early, but then as of late, it's kind of fallen off a little bit. So coming back in, but you're right. No Forest Sealstone in this list, no Lumineon, no Forest Sealstone, just the Zacian. I think people really prioritized being able to put Zacian down and either use something like Roar of the Sword, its ability, or just be able to immediately slap something as hard as you can with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it needs a little less work than the Gardevoir. So, like, the baby Gardevoir, I mean. But like, if you need a really big attacker out of nowhere, say your opponent has somehow whittled you down to just having a Gardevoir EX, but you don't have another thing set up, you at least have another attacker that doesn't, you know, that isn't a stage two, right? That isn't, that can hit relatively unlimited damage. Like, Screamtail is great to snipe a small thing somewhere, relatively small thing for 160, but other than that, it's interesting though, because it's strange that this list has the Zacian but does not find space for one Forest Sealstone. It just feels like, I don't know, like it seems like it's such a good card to throw in if you're going to have the one, but then I guess their point is like, well, if I don't play Arvin in the list, how am I ever going to find it in a meaningful way? So fair enough.
I think that's probably the biggest conclusion on that. But also, just the deck is overall just slower than a lot of other decks at this point. And so they're thinking, you know what? I'm probably going to be able to draw my way through it, right? With the Ionos, with the Worker that you mentioned, the Curlia refinements. Also, something to note, we talked about in the League Battle deck how it was maybe a little high on 13 energies. Ryan Antonucci's winning list placed 12 energies.
Yeah.
So not too far off, actually.
No, not too far off. I think, you know, that I think my guess is that the future version of this, when things rotate, I think Gardevoir probably cuts reversal energy entirely because there's no, it only functions for baby Gardevoir. So once that rotates, the Shining Arcana one, you're there's no point. But you can take both of those out, and then maybe you up it to 11 energy so you can hit some of those higher numbers, right? That's my guess. So that's why I think, like, but yeah, like 12, 13, they're not that different.
Yeah, and especially, you know, when you just do the reversals, right? So there, as you were talking about, you know, you can cut a couple of those psychic energies and just make some quick changes. This is probably a really easy change that you can make in that if you do plan on picking up that deck in April. So really cool to see Ryan's list. And if you look over at the entire top eight, you'll see a couple lost box lists with Aiden Cuss in second place, Azul Garcia Griego in ninth. Michael Gincherio, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, at 11th with a Sable Zard. But if you look at Aiden Cuss's list, my boy is back, Sean, the Ogre.
Oh my gosh. It's got Kyogre. You know what it also has in this? It's got the Dragonite V. It's got a Pidgeot V as well.
The Lost Zone boxes, in my opinion, this was the big show of the event. Like, kind of the surprise or how things have morphed, a good adjustment. Lost Zone box has transitioned now into back to its turbo version. Turbo version in collaboration with the Dragonite V and also the Kyogre. But the most interesting card in this list, Sean, in my opinion, is the Tempting Trap Mawile. This is a really cool inclusion for a lot of reasons, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the 90 extra damage, I think we talked about this, where like the 90 extra damage might matter, the maybe slowing your opponent down if they're playing a deck that doesn't typically run a lot of switching cards is really good. Like, you know, I can see this Mawile. There's a world in which you, if you're against Gardevoir even, right? You trap something in the active that they don't want there. You might be able to just deck a Gardevoir player out, to be frank. The Gardevoir doesn't play switching cards.
So one of the things that was notable is I think it was Azul when he was playing. When Azul was playing his winning in round, he got a really quick game one win because he Tempting Trap Mawiled a non-psychic Pokemon. I think it was Manaphy. So especially like you said, you know, and this is kind of a lot of decks right now. A lot of decks not named Lost Box in some form or fashion are not playing like switch cards. So being able to use Tempting Trap and trap, especially in the Gardevoir matchup, a Jirachi, a Manaphy, a potential Lumineon or Radiant Greninja, right? Can be really, really good. But there was also a part in the series, and this was so cool. This baffled everybody watching it. So Azul had trapped a Gardevoir EX because his opponent did not have enough energies in the discard pile or any energies at all in the discard pile to be able to use Shining Arcana to retreat the Gardevoir. So he trapped it for a turn, right? To just buy him a little bit of time to try to get to the Kyogre. What ended up happening, though, is when his opponent passed and brought it back to him, he had the idea of hitting with Dragonite V on a full HP Gardevoir for 340 damage because of the long forgotten second effect of Tempting Trap to do 90 more damage on the defending Pokemon in attacks. So it was insane. It blew my mind. I'm shocked he saw the line for that. It was crazy. It was awesome. Really, really cool combo. He ended up winning because of a gentleman's agreement in that best of three series. Unfortunately, it was kind of like a 1-1 tie going into game three, but he won on board state, so ended up getting ninth overall. But really, really cool. I love this list. I think this list is so funny. I think it's so cool. I just love Kyogre. It's crazy. One thing to note, though, about the Kyogre that I just realized. So Kyogre, when we first saw it, right, when we were talking about it at like Worlds and stuff, was playing like three energy recyclers, right? Mm-hmm. This list now, this iteration that Aiden Cuss put together, and I'm looking real quick at Azul's list because I think it's similar. They only played one energy recycler, Sean.
Yep.
So moving.
I wonder if that's because they do play three super rods. So maybe, you know, maybe there's just opting for like, hey, you know, we're not really going for the Kyogre play most games. Like, it's there if we are in certain matchups, or maybe that's just how the cookie crumbles, so to speak. But maybe for them, they see in this current format, most of our lines are Cramorant and Sableye and maybe a Dragonite or a Radiant Greninja play. I don't know. It's just a thought.
I think you're exactly right on that. I think Ogre, although really good, is not something that you do every single time or is not imperative that you do every single game. It is a really, really cool finisher, though, and one of my favorite combos, to be honest. Feels a lot like Control when you just try to, like, get as low as possible and you finite this method of, like, guaranteeing almost a win. Just so fun, so cool, so crazy. But
I feel like the matchups where that matters. I was doing the thought in my head, and I'm like, obviously Mew V Max is a good one, and then probably Maridon. I feel like those two matchups in particular, because you're gonna have a whole bench sitting in front of you. That's two prizers that are within that range.
Also Charizard is probably a decent matchup alongside that, because you can place damage counters everywhere, right? Your Charizards, Pidgeots, things like that, with Sableye, with Cramorant, with Radiant Greninja. So I think it's just, I mean, again, and also Roaring Moon. I feel like it can do really well against Roaring Moon. We saw in the, I think it was the first round of Top Cut, we had Kamal Crooks Valdez with the Roaring Moon. We'll show off his Roaring Moon list right here on the video, because as Sean alluded to, people are so excited about Roaring Moon right now. played against Aiden in the round of top eight and ended up losing to his Lost Box Kyogre. So just very, very strong and has really, really good matchups all the way. And doing Lost Box things, you can kind of cheese your way into some wins, especially with Ogre, in my opinion. So could be really good. But for the Roaring Moon, one of the more popular archetypes, also a pretty good deck. This is kind of the list, what we're looking like here for Roaring Moons. Two Galarian Moltres Vs to accelerate those energies. The ever important Morpeko. Have we ever talked about Morpeko on this channel?
I mean, we don't really talk about it too much, but, like, I don't know, 70 damage is great. That kills a comfy.
Morpeko with 70 HP does that 70 damage, like you mentioned, to KO a comfy. Also does 140 weakness on baby Gardevoir.
Yeah.
Right, to be able to KO that. Also just 140 damage in general on, like, anything is a pretty decent number, especially if you want to use the attack that doesn't guarantee a KO on the Roaring Moon the next turn. Could be some good setup damage, either 70 or 140. And then it moves two dark energy from this Pokemon to one of your bench Pokemon. So it's also just really good setup overall with the ability, Sean. If this Pokemon has no energy attached, it has no retreat costs. So it's a free retreater too.
Yeah. So you have two free retreaters between this and Mew EX. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're sitting pretty. You're great.
And this is only worth one prize compared to Mew EX.
Yeah. I will say the one thing I want to call out for this deck in particular. Well, there's two. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at this list now, Jake. Okay. It plays no water energy despite playing Radiant Greninja, which I do think is a thing that people are maybe torn on, of like, do you play the Roaring Moon with a couple of water energy, two or three water energy, just so you have the option to use Radiant Greninja or not? I don't know how you feel about this, but I know players that I've talked to kind of have differing opinions on that. What do you think about that one?
I think personally, I like the idea of not having the water energies in there. You just want to consistently be able to get out your Roaring Moons, get out your Galarian Moltres abilities, things like that, to be able to continue to churn as much as possible. And with the water energies, I feel like you have to go the Goldengo route and put like a 1-1 Palkia V-Star line in, because how else are you going to get your energies on? I mean, you do run four energy switches in this list, but that's two consecutive turns of, you could Professor Sada's, I guess, but you can never Professor Sada on the Radiant Greninja. It's so true. It just feels like a little bit too much work, in my opinion, for not enough value. And who knows, maybe when you do, especially for this tournament, right, you put the Radiant Greninja down And then people are like, oh my gosh, water energy, and put down their Manaphy, and you're like, all right, you just wasted a bench slot, you know? So
yeah,
it might just be better overall, especially for this event, to have just focused on trying to be as consistent as possible with getting your moons going.
Yeah, I like that. Jake, I want to see, do you know what card I also did a double take at?
Emergency Jelly?
No.
Oh.
Is there emergency jelly? There's no emergency jelly.
There is,
jelly,
yeah. There's where? Emergency jelly right by the Pokestops and where all the other tool cards are. What do you mean?
Wait. Which list are you looking at?
I'm looking at Kamal's list. Kamal Crooks Valdez, seventh place.
I was looking at Jose's.
Where
He's playing
are
Pokemon
you?
Catcher. He's playing four Pokemon catchers.
I do know. So Pokemon catchers, I think Ross Cawthon was playing Pokemon catchers.
In his list. He's got four of them in the list.
Yeah. So that doesn't surprise me as much because it's a coin flip deck, right? You know, you can just use it, especially whenever you want, especially if you feel like you're going to be ahead on prizes a lot of time, right? You don't want to rely on counter catchers. We don't see a lot of Roaring Moons playing things like counter catchers. So that part doesn't surprise me as much, but are you surprised about Emergency Jelly?
I am not. I'll say this. I'm surprised, I guess, that it had made its way to a deck that did this well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised because I always sort of thought Emergency Jelly made sense in the list because Ancient Booster Capsule plus Emergency Jelly plus the 30 you have left, that basically puts you at, what,
150?
220 HP?
What?
Well, okay, so I'm trying to think about it, right? Like, you do 200 damage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you do. I always forget this about Roaring Moon. You do 200 damage to yourself. I always forget that note. I constantly think it's like, put yourself into you have 30 HP left. So you're right about that. Yeah. With the Ancient Booster Capsule, it is way more because you get that 60 HP boost. I forgot about that.
No, so that's my thought. Like, so you basically are healing back to where you have only... You basically heal 120 off, so you're only taking 80 damage, so that leaves you at, what, 150 plus 60 or something? I don't know. You're like 210 or 220 HP, something like that. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, like one turn with the Emergency Jelly, and all of a sudden, your dude is not really all that small, right? He's huge to start with.
You can't have Ancient Energy Booster and Emergency Jelly. What are we talking about?
Well,
hold on.
Well,
it's too late.
Actually, you can't have them on the same turn, but you can have them the turn after.
If your Roaring Moon survives that long.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're playing against a Lost Box deck and they can't knock it out. And then you get another turn and then you throw the booster. I don't know, Jake. Jake, look. We don't know things, and that's fine.
The biggest thing that I like about the Emergency Jelly is it puts you, if it's a normal turn of Emergency Jelly, no shenanigans, it puts you at 150 HP after the Emergency Jelly procs, which is very interesting because that puts you out of Sableye range. That puts you out of like Radiant Greninja, Cramorant, like all these different moves on these Pokemon, then they've got to commit a ton more resources to be able to knock you out. I don't know if it's worth it enough to have in the list if you're specifically using it for kind of your Lost Box matchup, but maybe even against like Charizard in the early turns, right? Like if they hit you, you have an early Emergency Jelly to just pump you up a ton. After they hit you or something? I don't know.
As a Charizard player who played against a Roaring Moon deck not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
the way that I was able to beat the Roaring Moon deck I played against, they went all out. They took out a Charizard. You know, good for you. Big claps. And then I just brought up a Charmander and hit him for 30.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. The baby Charmander that I use does 30 damage and then 10 to itself. So it just... A little Charmander with one energy can go up there and just knock you out. And so you don't have to send up a two prizer. So, I mean, I think there are a few weird scenarios where if all you're doing is leaving yourself at 30, you know, situationally, like, look, you might have the booster energy capsule on there, but if you don't, 30 damage is like so many different Pokemon can just knock you out. Mm-hmm. One Prezzer. And then you got to go find a boss.
And then you have to go find a boss. That is definitely the case. But really cool top eight, in my opinion. A good amount of variety in there. Some Roaring Moons. Oh, you were looking at Jose's. I was talking about Kamal against Aiden, and so I just immediately looked at Kamal's list. Sorry, Jose Marzon. For that. But anyways, there were some other events that went on. The Melbourne Regionals with 500 players. Brent Tonneson, the Australian, ended up winning it with Lost Box Tina. Sean, so Lost Box Tina getting well represented. Three of them inside the top eight. A Lugia in the top eight as well.
Yeah, very surprising with the Lugia.
Lugia, a deck that completely fell off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know I have friends who really love Lugia, and they are, I'm sure, very stoked to see this list. And, you know, I have no clue what Lugia looks like after rotation, but so many of these decks, I'm looking at them now, and I'm like, man, rotation is going to hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
These decks, like Giratina V-Star, just think about it. Giratina V-Star is so good because it can play Path to the Peak. It really can, like, lean on Path to the Peak to disrupt their opponent to the point where, like, even if you're like not having a great start, because the deck can be kind of slow, your end game is really strong with Giratina V-Star. With Gardevoir, you have this baby Gardevoir that is just like, it's drawing you cards, it's doing all this damage, it's, you know, it just, it goes with your line so perfectly. And you also got Level Ball and Fog Crystal and Battle VIP, and I look at all these decks, and I, even your beloved Lost Box, Jake.
No, Lost Box Ogre. That's my beloved. Ogre is my beloved.
Yeah, no. But, you know, Kyogre, E-Block. Dragonite, E-Block. Like, the like, key cards for a lot of these decks are just... We're going to get new cards, don't get me wrong, but, like, I'm just looking at all this, and I'm like, man, I think rotation is going to... I don't even know. I have no idea what to think, Jake.
It's going to shake up the format for sure, and we'll make sure to get you ready for it as well. But in here as well, in Melbourne, Giratina, Lost Box, and Gardevoir were the top two decks. A couple Charizards, including Naru Shiwi, Nishikawa, apologies, has been second place the last two regionals they've attended, Melbourne and Brisbane, with Charizard. So they made $14,000, but you'll get there. You'll get there. Just keep trying. Keep trying, my friend. And in this past weekend as well, Singapore was the third event to go on. 308 players in this event. And the top three decks, Sean, all Giratina, Lost Box, four of them in the top eight. Definitely the most represented deck.
Yeah. Yeah, that deck. Boy, howdy. I mean, I will say, though, the format, it felt like it was very Giratina heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And then it felt very Charizard heavy. It still is a lot of Charizard. But I think Roaring Moon finally sort of settling into the format is a good thing, because it can outpace Giratina. It can maybe outpace and better prize trade with Charizard. So, like, it's kind of like this weird boogeyman deck, in my opinion, to two of the best decks in the format. So that's interesting to me.
It'll be crazy to see how it continues. When's the next regional, too, that we have? Do you know? I feel like it's kind of like far away overall.
Let me see. If I look, what day is it? Vancouver on March 22nd.
March 22nd? That's a month and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
what are
we
going to talk about
Germany
for a month and a half? Oh, there's one in Germany?
There's one in Germany next weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, yeah, we can talk about that.
And then there is a Latin American regional in Brazil at the beginning of March 9th.
Okay.
So there's, but I mean, between now, basically between now and rotation, Jake, there are three regionals total.
Oh man, when is regional or when is rotation again?
I want to say rotation is whenever EUIC is. So I'd have to Pokemon International Championships. EUIC is April 5th to 7th. So I guess his rotation probably happens April 4th.
It's so long. It's so long away. Either way, whatever day it is, it's a long time. But we'll continue to bring you stuff on the Metapod. Shauna, is there anything else you got for us? No?
That's all.
That's all,
folks. I'm wearing raccoons. I got a raccoon shirt today.
Sean's got the raccoons, and I got my pirate hat, as always.
It's IRL Pokemon.
IRL Pokemon? What?
Raccoons. Raccoons are just like real Pokemon. They're just like Pokemon, except real.
So you mean animals?
Well, but they got little hands, and they're all mischievous.
They got little hands, and they're all mischief. All right, that's it. We're done with this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Pokemon Podcast Revolves Around the Evolving Meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean, and we'll see you in the next episode.